Hello, this is 180 Degrees and I'm your host Louise Ryan. Today I'm bringing you a very special bonus episode titled Inspirational Climate Leadership, coming to you straight from the SAI Energy Show, where Fergus Sharkey, Head of Business and Public Sector at SAI, interviews two business leaders who are actively looking to decarbonise their business for the long term. The SAI Energy Show is Ireland's leading sustainable energy business event, and this year we are hosting it online. The event offers a unique opportunity to learn about the latest innovations in energy efficiency, renewable energy and policy developments underpinning Ireland's clean energy ambitions. Today's podcast will be of particular interest to any business or public sector body, large or small, looking to reduce their energy use and get started on the pathway to net zero. I'll leave you now in the company of Fergus, who talks to Ian Ryan from Wyeth Nutrition and Sean McEvitt from Terry Spirits and Liqueurs, who share their insights from their own decarbonisation journeys.
Hello everybody, my name is Fergus Sharkey. I am the Head of Business and Public Sector and Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland. And I'm here with Ian Ryan, who is the Energy Manager from Wyeth Nutrition in Askeaton in County Limerick, and Sean McEvitt, who's the MD of Terra Spirits and Liqueur from Ballybor in County Cavan. And today we're talking about inspirational climate leadership. And, you know, I think we have all seen that climate action and environmentalism has really come to the fore over the last number of years. And we can see that with our current government and all of the ambition that's been put out on all sectors of society. And today we're talking about business and about how businesses can transform their operations to low carbon operations. And we brought in Ian and Sean as people who are showing leadership for their organizations in very, very different sectors, it must be said, in different scales of business. So I'm delighted to have you. You're very welcome, guys. And I'm going to kick off with a question to Sean. So Sean, you've in Terra Spirits and Liqueurs, you've taken a number of actions and initiatives to date to reduce your energy consumption and emissions. What have you done? What has it achieved? And I guess, you know, why are you doing it? What are the big motivation factors for you?
Hi, Fergus. Thanks for having us. I guess, you know, for me personally, I have a great interest in new technology, new ways of doing things. I have a great belief that, you know, we have responsibility for not just our current generations, but future generations. And, you know, as a business leader, then, you know, I have to put them pieces together and try and identify an image for Terra, for our customers, and what the perception is in the marketplace on what we represent. So sustainability is at the forefront of that. And as I say, you know, when it's a personal interest, it becomes very easy. And so that was, you know, that's the ethos. And we've done a lot of things over the last number of years that has allowed us to evolve, you know, to answer the major part of your question. 2018 was kind of when we took this, you know, all our steps further. We done 554 solar panel system, roughly 170 kilowatts system, and we done an air-to-water heat pump system for our hot water production, and that benefited our process and obviously then our decarbonization. So we done a lot of other initiatives in 2019. We done, you know, heat recovery through air manifold system and water recovery system, which saves us about 500,000 liters of water a year. But in 2020, we took it a stage further where we doubled our solar farm to 340 kilowatt hour system. And we also then switched off our oil boiler and we replaced it with renewable bio LPG with calor gas. So a lot of capital over the last number of years, a lot of capital expenditure, a lot of big projects. But as I say, you know, it's something that I have a personal interest in, and it's how I want the company to be perceived in the marketplace and with our customers.
And have you a feeling for, after all investing all that money, have you a feeling for how much it's saved both yourself as a business and I guess from a planetary perspective, how many tons of CO2 you've produced as well?
Yeah, so financial savings are probably our secondary with this, because, you know, with sustainability, you know, it's going to have a price, and I guess, you know, looking at the number of projects. The solar is probably a 10-year payback. It's probably saving us roughly around just under 40,000 a year in electricity. The air-to-water system was a real no-brainer, in fairness. When the guys proposed it to me, I kind of felt, slightly stupid that I hadn't thought of it beforehand. It was a really quick payback. We spent roughly 100 grand on that project, and I think it's going to pay for itself in about 4.5-5 years. So overall, we spent just under $500,000 since 2018 in all the projects. We would probably see an annual saving of about €55,000 a year in CapEx. In regards to CO2, which is the main point, obviously, with SEI, the electricity, the PV generation is saving us about 82,000 kg of CO2 a year, and the bio-LPG is saving us about 130. So when we add up the hot water reduction system, we're roughly about 255,000 kg of CO2 a year saving.
Okay, so significant amount. And can I ask you, Sean, before I go over to Ian, so you've done all this, you're grounded in, I suppose, being a responsible citizen and a responsible business owner. Have you seen any uptick? I suppose you probably had a huge uptick in sales, given that we're all stuck at home drinking. But have you seen have you seen any benefit with your customers, and have people responded to this in your supply chain and people you sell to?
If I was being honest, I probably thought it would have been more. I would have thought that some of our customers who are based in Ireland would have jumped on the bandwagon of using their awards. They haven't. They're starting to come true now. They're starting to realize, oh wow, that's pretty good. Can we use that on our website? Looking at our figures, we will have achieved by the mid of this year a net 20% reduction in net import kilowatt hours for both island electricity, from roughly 1.5 million to just under or just over a million, which is about 20% reduction in our net import. So that's pretty significant for a company of our size. And you know what, I'm hoping that, it's become more prominent, that more of our customers will start getting involved in that and start wanting to flagship what we have done and use that as their social. Because, Terra, we're not really a social platform company, and that's how you get to the market. That's how the people know what you're doing. So it's up to them to utilize that as opposed to us.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go over to Ian and a similar question to Ian with Wyatt in, which is a significant business and a significant employer in the region of Limerick that you're in. What have you done to date, and what impact has it had, and what's the driver for you guys in Askeaton?
Thanks, Fergus. I suppose the driver for us in Askeaton is the organization has set an objective for net zero carbon by 2050, and as a signatory to the UN Business Ambition Pledge. That's the pledge that tries to limit the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees by 2050. It's very much that's the driving factor as part of a larger multinational organization that has a lot of different supply chains in the food sector. Really, the challenge for us there is going to be to take the emissions out of our supply chains. A lot of work to date has happened in the factory, and I suppose that's what's changing now with the recent announcements from our CEO, is that it's moving those benefits from decarbonisation and sustainability into our supply chain and along our supply chain right up to our customers. Certainly, definitely, our customers are asking and looking for products that have that, let's say, green feel to it. And, we do a lot of that work through programs like Origin Green, et cetera, on site. There's been quite a bit of work done to put some numbers on it. Went back to 2013, we set a glide path up to 2020 to reduce carbon emissions, averaging for 3.5% a year. The same in energy efficiency, looking for a 5% improvement in energy efficiency relative to production output for the plant. And water is also a very, very big item for us here. We achieved the International Alliance for Water Stewardship Standard last year, and we're very proud of that. Water is a key ingredient as a food operator. So we've done many projects in that over the years. Heat recovery, improvement in steam and thermal generation systems, reduction and improvement in mortars and a lot of policy-driven items, you know, to bring the best available technologies to the plant as we upgrade and change things. And we've got a lot of support, I suppose, in fairness, from SEI with those over the years. A lot of work as well in being a large factory, a lot of work in staff awareness and getting the expertise that we're within our own staff to be champions and leaders in sustainability for the site.
And can I ask Ian then, you know, you're talking about a fairly significant initiative and a fairly significant investment over a long period of time. You know, what's the barriers and challenges you kind of faced along the way as a business that might be informative to other people who are, I guess, sort of starting to push that within their own factory or plant. And I suppose, what does it look like in terms of the overall goal? What's your future plan, and where are you in that journey, I suppose?
Yeah, well, look, it's a journey of continuous improvement. And I suppose to talk about the larger journey is the net zero carbon. So we get to zero carbon on the entire supply chain for the factory by 2050. And there's goals between now and then. So we're a signatory to the RE100, Renewable Energy Directive 100. So all the energy, electrical energy for the site will have to be renewable by 2025. We're going to have our greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's the ambition anyway from 2018 baseline. And we've already done a substantial amount of work, so that's even more challenging again. In the past, I suppose the challenge was to get the sustainability on the radar, in terms of, you know, projects have to have paybacks and then deliver them. And of course, the low-hanging fruit goes quickly, and then every project becomes more and more challenging. We've been very fortunate that, you know, additional supports have come along, like Exceed, etc., to, you know, support those improvements in those projects. And certainly some of them wouldn't have been delivered, a lot of them wouldn't have been delivered or Exceed that made them happen, because we still have to give a payback to the corporate, you know. But there's definitely a sea change in that, you know, there's a realization now, I think, generally among corporates that sustainability and decarbonisation, you know, has a financial cost, while it has obviously a business benefit. It definitely is an investment is required to deliver those savings. And, you know, from my point of view, the best investment is in better technology just to reduce the requirement for that energy. Decarbonisation can be achieved through, you know, adopting fuels that are decarbonised and stuff. But for me, we try and use the energy onion and go for, you know, do we need the service? You know, can we improve it? Can we make it more efficient? And there, I suppose, there's some of the challenges we faced, and I suppose the items we've taken to address that then is very much been driving systems. You know, systems have worked very well for us. When I started here, we didn't have 50,001. We worked on that. Obviously, we worked on Exceed and would hope to do some things around IS399 and items like that. So all these programs, you know, I think are really important. And one thing I've come to realize is that, you know, size doesn't matter in terms of delivering those standards for your organization. But they're deliverable for everyone, and I definitely encourage people to work on those. They definitely work very well for us here. And I think another thing on the challenge side is just in my mind was just good data, you know, to understand how all our energy has been used. Metering is a really good investment that took a little bit of convincing. It can be difficult to ask for, you know, capital for metering when you can't show a payback directly. You know, it's not a direct correlation, although evidence would suggest that the better you have meter, the better you can manage, therefore the savings are there. But they're not something you can really put on a capital proposal day one. It's not hard evidence. But I suppose you do one or two of those, you deliver results for the organization, and you build up that confidence within the organization to do the next thing. I think that's been very key for us.
It's very interesting, and just going back to Sean, like on a similar, you know, on a similar team for, you know, you're a smaller organization, and you know, when you are targeting and identifying and implementing measures to do, was there a big kind of gap to bridge in terms of your own knowledge and the knowledge on site, and how did you go about that? Did you have internal expertise, or were you able to bring in suppliers and consultants that could give you that type of information?
Yeah, okay. So yeah, there is internal expertise, and we've got a lot of our own team, obviously a much smaller organization in comparison to Ian, with less resources. So we did take in two external consultants and to just try to, you know, we kind of went more top line as opposed to kind of, you know, into the detail where Ian's talking about with metering and stuff. You know, we have a lot of the same policies. It's probably less documented than, you know, what Ian would be referring to. Because, you know, we have to kind of manage it with our available resources and, you know, indeed what my ability is to manage that with my resources. So, we would have went more top line. You know, for us, we have a lot of roof space available and solar just became a no-brainer. The heat recovery system, sorry, the air-to-water system was also a no-brainer. We could kind of build that quite easily with our existing infrastructure, and we identified the savings that we knew that we could make in definitely a more simplified manner. You know, the next stage is for us where we go from here. It's going to definitely be more detailed, and it's going to be along the lines of what Ian was referring to, an actual metering and, you know, more in-depth analysis of machines. Like for the last number of years, we, you know, all of our machines are bought in with a rated plus efficiency technology. You know, that is our ethos, and that's how we need to continue forward. But that can only take us so far, and that can only take us so far. You know, for us to achieve net zero carbon by 2050, it's something that's going to have to be led with you know, national government initiative. There's only so much that we can do with our existing infrastructure, and that's my personal belief.
Do you have, you know, you've it's really interesting that you've come at it a very different way than Ian has in Wyatt. You know, you've come at it with some early initiatives, and now you're getting into the more detailed and real data driven decisions, which is really interesting. You know, from that 2050 or whenever you're seeking to get to net zero as a business yourself, do you have a picture of that, what that would look like? You talked about what the state needs to do. Do you have even, you know, one or two things that you think the state should be doing now, and the likes of SEAI and various departments should be doing now to enable businesses to get to that net zero by 2050 and well before?
Do I have a vision of that? I don't. It's not my area of expertise. You know, I'm the managing director of the company and have a lot of different responsibilities, and you know, I'm everything we've done is out of my personal interests. Yeah. With my available resources. And I've probably taken that as far as I can personally without taking in a lot of external consultants. But, you know, the energy that we know that we need gas, and we know that we need electricity. Like my understanding is, and I'm open to correction, that 50% of the gas in 50% of the electricity in the current supply chain is from renewable sources. So, you know, can I personally, you know, make that other 50% from renewables? I can't, not unless, you know, we do private investments to different systems that are available. And that's something that has to be kind of more nationally led from government policies, not from companies like Terra. And, you know, Quay Nutrition or Ian's company, separate firepower, I suppose, or different firepower than what we can deliver. The pathway for us to see carbon neutral, I personally can't see how we can get there other than what we've already done. Like as a company, we have achieved a 30% net reduction in our import. So that's quite significant. And you know, if other companies could follow suit, well then as a nation and as a society, we definitely would be achieving something.
It is significant, and I don't think you should be holding. It was a difficult question I asked you, but I was interested to see where, like, you've done a lot. And you're kind of committed to doing more, but I suppose that it is interesting that pathway to net zero, you know, remains unclear to you. And I think that's a really important message, that it's not for a lack of ambition or a lack of, you know, it's difficult to get there, and particularly for companies like yourself, you know. I just to go back to Ian, I'm going to make it about SEAI for a minute. Which is, you know, you mentioned Exceed and so on. So Ian, you have availed of a number of SEI supports. Could you just kind of mention, like, what have you availed for? What's it done for you? Good, bad, and ugly. The gloves are off. You can say what you want to me. In terms of the different schemes you've engaged with, from grant capital, yes, but other schemes as well that you might have engaged with SEAI.
Yeah, sure, no problem. I suppose, you know, if I think back, I suppose I'm just coming up on 5 years working on site as the energy manager, and there has been, there's been energy projects and fairness in this organization. If we go right back to 2004, we put the CHP in and got rid of heavy fuel oil. And you know, they've been supported right the way up along with SEI and former entities of it. From my point of view, I suppose that one of the most important things for me was our relationship manager. You know, we hadn't engaged with him in previous iterations, and we got him on board. And really, that was the real kickstart to put up, was a process behind what we've achieved on site. So, you know, we used those resource days, which were funded by SEI, to get our ISO system up and running. You know, I think we achieved quite a lot. We effectively went from no system to certified in 6 months, which was, okay, a lot. We had the resources, to be fair, you know, at me full time to put those resources behind it. But we've done that. We've failed at quite a few project assistance grants in terms of, there's one ongoing at the moment. Actually, we're doing a deep delve site-wide steam survey, as you can imagine. Being with a unusual situation that we're 47 years here, we have steam systems that go back pretty much that far. So that's ongoing at the moment. And as you know, rooting out things we kind of suspected were there, but we didn't have the detail and the data to focus on that. So project systems grants have been very important to us. Obviously the EOS scheme has helped fund additional projects, you know, in terms of a tool for finance and management, it's great. You know, we do a project, we get some funding, we reinvest that back into the next project. You know, it's partly self-sustaining in that respect. And of course, Exceed has been really, really important for us. Two major projects in the last 2 years, and certainly an ambition to do a lot more, assuming the program will be there. We've done a huge upgrade to our economizer on our CHP plant. You know, it's brought about 6 gigawatt hours of savings. It was actually made it happen. It made the payback reasonable on it. But you know, that's in the context of the site. You know, 4% of the energy on the site in a relatively big factory with the 4th biggest carbon emitter in County Limerick, and we're among some giants. You know, down here in Limerick. And the other Exceed project that we did was the compressed air upgrade and heat recovery systems. You know, like certainly whatever with the compressed air part brought us from, like, you know, the newest compressor we had was 1992, brought us right up to modern day, the most efficient in compressing technology. And then we have the heat recovery on that as well, which definitely would not have happened without the support of Exceed. As well, I think it's worth mentioning that, you know, Exceed, well, yes, all government or state aid subsidies do require a lot of paperwork. There's no denying it, and I think you need to really understand that at the outset, so that you set up your systems in a way that makes that as simple as possible. You know, that finance are aware and statements and invoices and all the things that need to be done on the logistics side of it. But I think Exceed as a process, it really forces the challenge and analyse aspect of it. It really forces to sit down and say, right. And those meetings and those conversations and getting people in the room really, we've never really thought about this, really. We needed a compressed air, so we went and did it. You know, and it did start with that, do we need it at all? And yes, we could we get by without it? Maybe just about. But, you know, that's not financially viable. That's a rebuild of the whole factory, changing every valve to electric and stuff like that. So that, you know, but at least we sat and had the discussion, and all those supports have been really key to delivering everything we have delivered.
And it's very interesting, and probably one of the reasons we invited you as well, Ian. I do know that you're dipping into everything that's available to you, like which is really smart. It's not just the capital grants. You have obviously advisory support through our relationship managers in the large industry program. You have project assistance grants, which helps you with those deep audits. You're utilizing the supports that are available in a very wide way, you know. And can I, you, the other thing that you know, you've achieved from SEAI, I won't say you've gotten from SEAI because you achieved it, was you were an award winner in our energy awards in 2018, where you won the large business energy management award back then. And I suppose, you know, like, recognition, I think, is really important. And for us as a state agency, I think it's something that we can do in highlighting that success. What does that mean for you to kind of bring back that trophy? And what does it mean for the guys and the girls that work in your office and across your plant?
It was a fabulous selection. It was in the Lord Mayor's house there, just off Dawson
Mansion Street.
Mansion House, yeah. I couldn't think of the name of it. Thanks. You know, and being a gala event, it really made it quite special. And I'll be very honest. I had my factory manager with me and myself on the night, and I had him pretty much talked down that, you know, it was just nice to get there and be a finalist. And you know, I really convinced myself one of the other candidates was the winner. They had a really good application, you know, and when we won it, I was like, I swear, it took 2 or 3 seconds for me to actually move from my chair to respond. But it really is. I don't think I'll even be able to this convey how important it is. Like it's a real validation of all the work that went in, all the effort that went in, the support from the business, you know, the resources to deliver it. And the people on the ground, like ultimately people deliver all this stuff. Like I'm the manager. It's, you know, the nuts and bolts happen with ordinary guys in the process areas or working down the plant, consultants, like everybody has some impact on energy in the factory. It was a real validation. And, you know, the irony, it gave us, you know, the extra bit of a push to kind of, you know, move on again, not that we needed, but it just, the amount of motivation, you couldn't buy it. Everyone was really like on a high from it for really still, like, you know, like obviously we made the finals last year as well, and that was nice. You know, best luck to the winner. It was an excellent, in fairness, presentation. They've done great work down there, and I'm a competitor, but such is life.
That's just brilliant to hear. Like, I mean, you couldn't have given a more ringing endorsement. And I know it's one part of my job just to be involved in that process and to see, I suppose, what it means to the winner and again, how important it is to people who are runners up in it. You know, there's a real joy that it brings, you know. And a similar question to Sean, you won last year, and unfortunately, we weren't able to have a drink or a glass of wine to celebrate, given that it was a remote awards for the first time. But you, Terra Spirits and Liqueurs won the small and medium business exemplary energy management category last year. And a similar question to yourself, what was that like getting that down in, you know, or up in the plant in Cavan and being able to share it with the team there?
Yeah, I get that drink off you someday, Fergus, don't worry.
Definitely.
I think, you know, regardless if we won or not, we were very proud of everything we had achieved to date. At the end of 2020 was, you know, when we done our second stages of our solar and our conversion to gas, and so we kind of felt we had achieved a lot, and, you know, obviously we were hoping we were going to win, but when we won, yeah, look, you know, it was a great achievement, and the team in Terra and the guys that helped us achieve all that, we were all very excited. So we had our remote handshakes and hugs and bumps and, you know, glass of wine, but yeah, it's good, and it's good flagship, and we've used some of the media with some of our customers. We do a lot of foreign stuff. We you know, we're mainly exporting. A lot of our foreign customers are kind of going, "Oh, SEI, what's that?" And, you know, what's this video? So we're trying to educate them on that as well. Obviously, it's more prominent in the Republic where people understand.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah.
So
no,
yeah.
It's great, and it's really good to hear that from both of you. And the 2021 awards are going to be ongoing at the moment. So obviously, look, you're the inspirational stories that will hopefully inspire others to apply and to put their business forward, you know, and they're looking at what you guys have achieved in your businesses and can see that, you know, they can match that, or they can, you know, show their wares and show their achievements and so on. And we're running a bit towards the clock here now. So just to wrap up, you know, I expect there's a number of similar or dissimilar businesses to both of your businesses who are tuned in and watching this live or watching it back. And I suppose, you know, two or three pieces of advice that you would give other similar businesses to either start their journey towards decarbonization or accelerate what they're doing already. And I guess, Sean, you've the stage, so I'll start with yourself.
I guess if I was to give any advice, it would be to, you know, don't be afraid to go out there and get advice, because there's a lot of great companies out there. There's a lot of great portals, you know, websites, even SEI there, you know, where you can get information on where to start that journey. And especially don't be afraid to start challenging your own internal systems, your own internal procedures and your precedents, because you'll find that that's where, you know, your next steps evolve from. And there's a lot of small things that you can see from your own internal processes that can have massive changes or lead to massive changes with regards to your sustainability measures. So, yeah, that's where I would start.
Yeah, good advice. And Ian?
Yeah, look, everything Sean said, I agree. And you know, just, you know, pick something and do it. Like for us, definitely putting a system in place. And I think, you know, 50,001 seems like a huge ambition, but it's actually very, very deliverable. Like, I mean, like we started with an Excel spreadsheet the first year and we went for certification from that. Like, very, 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 and it hasn't gotten more complicated. It's just got, you know, more detailed over the years. I think, you know, don't underestimate the amount of talent and resource that are in your staff. I think it's really important to bring your staff along. Staff engagement's very difficult. You often wonder if you're getting through it all and, you know, using all the different communication channels in your organization. But, you know, all it takes is one person to stop you in the corridor and say, oh, I was looking at that and I was thinking about this, and you start getting that feedback, and it builds and it grows and it becomes self-sustaining. So I think, you know, get a system, do something, and get your staff engaged. They're my three points, really.
Okay. Thanks, Ian. So yeah, we to wrap up, I suppose. Look, it's we brought you both in as past winners of the awards, but it's inspirational to me and to hear, you know, what your achievements are, what your goals are. I find it very inspiring, and it's, I also know, because, you know, I am working with a lot of businesses on the coalface, how difficult it can be to make these changes and to find the money for them when there's a lot of competing aspects of your business that you need to invest in. So I just want to thank you both, Sean McEvitt, the MD of Terra Spirits and Liqueurs in Ballyburgh, County Cavan, and Ian Ryan, the Energy Manager from Wyatt Nutrition in Askeaton, County Limerick. And I hope that all the people who've tuned in have gained something. I certainly have. So thank you very much to both of you.
All right, Fergus. Thank you.
Thanks, Fergus. Sean, cheers.
I hope you've enjoyed today's podcast live from the SEI Energy Show. Don't forget, we have two more series of 180 Degrees. I'll see you next time.